Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9, we're going to stand, please. We'll start reading at verse number 14. I appreciate all the singing, appreciate how God spoke to our hearts through it. Now that we can, when we don't understand, we can still trust God regardless of what's happening. Now Jesus has gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration, taking Peter, James, and John. You'll see in verse number 2. And he's been transfigured there before them and the other disciples at the foot of the mount. Let's look at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples and they that they should cast him out, and they could not." Answered him, and he saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tire him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. Asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came upon him?" He said, "Of a child." And oftentimes they'd have cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw that people came running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of them, enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he saith unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's bow our heads, please, and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege today we've had to be in the house of God. Already through the singing and the testimonies and the praise, God, has been a joy to be in the house of God. We give you glory and honor and praise best we know how. And we are thankful, Lord, when we don't understand, we can still trust you. And God, you have everything under control. And so I pray now in Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Spirit be upon us to preach. I pray for a divine touch of God. May the Holy Ghost move in this service and, Lord, touch hearts. And I pray individuals, those that are unsaved, to see their need of a Savior. Those that know Jesus Christ may be drawn closer. And that all of us may be challenged to believe God and trust you with all things. We thank you and we praise you and give you glory. Now, Father, for a few moments, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead that Jesus be lifted up, speak to hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you. God, what you do in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I've been preaching since Jubilee, trying to, God, stir in our hearts and guiding us in to keep on keeping on. And don't let it die. Don't let it slip by. Don't let yourself grow cold or me grow cold and indifferent, but that we may stay where God would have us to be and do what God have us to do. But I promise you that the devil will do everything he can to discourage you and everything he can to take some of the fire out, everything he can to get you disheartened, and get you out of the will of God. He'll do everything that he can do that, but I'm glad we can still look to Jesus and find strength and help to help us in time of need. I've already given you the context of this scripture, Jesus being transfigured. Moses and Elijah has appeared on the mount with him, and a picture, if you please, of the rapture of the church, because you find that Moses died and God buried him, and then that Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven and chariots of fire. And so you have a rapture picture there, and Jesus transfigured before them. And then he came off the mount. They was on the mount having a glorious time. And it was a tremendous time. But when they came off the mount, that's kind of like being in Jubilee, coming down off the mount and getting down the valley and where real problems are and where we see things. Thank God for Jubilee, because it helped us get refired. It helped us get some joy in our soul. It helped us to move on closer to Jesus. It helped us and encouraged our hearts. But now we find ourselves finding people in need, and we need to be able to help them. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Ephesians 6 talks about. And so our warfare is not with mankind, but with a spiritual warfare that we find. But I want you to look at verse number 18. Verse number 18, here's a failure. And whithersoever he taketh him, he tireth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Then look down in verse number 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? They realized that they had a failure in their life. They should have been able to help the man. Jesus had given them that authority to do so. They should have been able to help him, but they could not. And then Jesus came and he did what they couldn't do. But I want you to see this, that they had the opportunity, but could not do anything about it. Turn back with me, please, in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse number 19. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Here they're asking that question again. Same question, just a different gospel is coming out of. And Jesus saith unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and that's one of the smallest seeds there is, a mustard seed, he shall say unto this mountain, move hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Of course, this is what he said in verse 29 of our text. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I'll come back to that later, but simply telling you that he's saying here, it's all because of unbelief. And we need to get a hold of that. And I never have got a hold of this thing of faith like I want to get a hold of it. I know I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I trust him as my Savior. I know I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I know that I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I know that I believe that. I believe that Jesus is able to save sinners. I believe that Jesus is able to help anybody, anytime. I also realize the fact the Bible teaches us that we pray according to the will of God when it comes to sickness and when it comes to other things of life. God answering our prayer is not always the way we want it to be answered. But God always answers our prayer. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. And you and I must discern what he's saying, else we get discouraged about God answering our prayer. But faith certainly is something we need to exercise and believe and trust. It is believing and trusting, but real true faith. How much do you really believe God? Verse number 22. And oftentimes they've cast him into the fire and the waters to destroy him. But, now I want you to get this. Here's the Father talking to Jesus. He said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is the only time in Scripture that you find somebody saying to Jesus, if
thou canst. They're saying, if you can. What he's saying is, I'm not sure that you can. I'm asking you, if you can, have compassion on us and help us. And what made him doubt? What made him doubt that Jesus could do it? Disciples before him couldn't do it. Disciples, they came. Jesus was on the mount. And now they looked at the disciples and asked for help. And they couldn't give him the help that he needed. And so the man comes to Jesus and said, if thou canst. Let me say to you and I today that how we believe God will affect how others out there that don't know God will believe God. If we really believe God, it'll make a difference in our lives and how we live our lives. And surely there have been songs sung this morning that'll make all of us realize how good it is to believe that God has everything under control. Sometimes we wonder how in the world this is going to come out and what's going to happen, and I certainly do that. I'm preaching to me as much as anybody. But God knows everything from beginning to end, and God is able to take any situation and make it whatever he wants to make out of it if we'll just believe God. Amen? He said, if thou canest. That wasn't the question. Look on down in verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canest believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's a man, he's saying now, if you can, will you help us? Now here's faith coming to play, the failures of the disciples. Here's faith. And Jesus said, if thou canest believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now we know we're not talking about believing something that's selfish or self-glorifying. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody's wanting to be rich, and if they just believe God enough, he'll give them a Cadillac and a big house and a hunk of gold and a big bank account. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's real and helps other people if we believe and trust God, or a situation we have in our life. If we really believe and trust God for it, God will work it out some way or the other. God will help us. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't see any help. I don't see any hope. Just wait on God. And God still has it under control. And nothing takes God by surprise. And God's not been out of shape about it, because he knows, well able to handle it, that he is. And this man, he wasn't sure. He didn't know. And so he said, if you can. Jesus said, that's not the question. The question is, if you can believe. And so let me say to you today, no matter what you're going through, it's not a question if God can. The question is, can you? Can you believe God? I remember Brother Tommy Steele here one time preached a message on can God, and then God can. And I want to echo that same truth today. Can God help you? God can. Can God take care of my situation? God can. Can God really help us in this mess we're in? God can. I'm glad he can. Amen. For our God is able. Save unto almost any of those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Can God save souls? Said he could. Said he's well able to do it. And what we need to do is pray for him and believe that God's going to do something. Amen. And trust God. I cannot believe God for somebody to be saved. I can't do their believing. But I can believe that God's going to back them in a corner. I can pray and ask God to convict them and believe that God will convict them and that God will do something in their life and God will stir their hearts and God will get them placed. They have to make a decision about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to try to abbreviate some of this today, and you pray for me as I try to do that. Unbelief hinders God. Psalm 78:41. You remember when the children of Israel came up there to the border of going into Canaan? When they first came, not after 40 years, when they first came. The Bible says, yea, they tempted God, and they wouldn't believe, and they turned back. And yea, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. When you don't believe God, you tempt him and you limit God. I was thinking about that the other day. Isn't it amazing that you and I can limit God? God has all power. God can do whatever he wants to do. But when it comes to some things that we're praying about and asking God for, if we don't believe, then we limit the holy God. That thought dawned on me and sunk in my heart and really smote me. And I pray today that if you don't get anything else out of this today, you'll get this thought, that we are capable of limiting the holy God from doing what he would do if we would believe him and trust him. Now, I'm not saying that we're stronger than God. I'm not saying that we can override God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying that God in his sovereign might and power has so ordained it that you and I can pray and ask God and faith, believe it, and God will do something. But if we don't believe it, children of it, God had just as much power to take them into Canaan when they first got there as he did 40 years later after wandering in the wilderness. That generation died out. God could just as well have taken them in 40 years earlier if they had just believed God. They did not believe God, therefore they tempted God and limited him. I'm saying you and I, sometimes we tempt God and limit God because we will not believe God and go on into Canaan. Amen. We will not believe that God's going to do what we're asking him to do. We will not really believe that. And sometimes and many times I'm like the man that cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You ever feel that way? I believe, help thou my unbelief. I sure do. Matthew 13:58. Jesus had gone back to his hometown and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He could do mighty works. He could have done many more mighty works, but they would not believe. And so they limited God. And I thought about something else. When David went out there to fight that giant Goliath, he didn't go out there and first of all, he didn't say, now listen, Saul, I'm a brave little fellow. I'm a sure shot with a slingshot. I believe I know how to get him in a position where I can take him down. He didn't say none of that. He said, what is that uncircumcised Philistine doing blaspheming our God and the children of Israel? And he said, the same God that delivered the lion into my hand and delivered the bear in my hand. Said God that did it. Didn't say he did it. Said God did it. Said that same God would deliver that giant into my hand. In other words, David was believing God. While a whole army over here was cowed down and afraid to go to fight the giant, little old David went out there because why? He believed that God would help him take him down. He was blaspheming God. He had a cause to go. He wasn't going for self-glory. He wasn't going to make a name for himself. He was going because there was a giant out there making fun of God's people and making fun of God. And he said, somebody ought to go fight that rascal. He said, I will. And he did. I say, amen, amen. How many giants could we see fall if we had some Davids just to believe God and go and face them? Then notice in verse number 29 again, let's come back to that. And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Talk about praying here just for a minute. I won't take time to read all that, but the Bible said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your father know how to give good gifts to you? If your son would ask a fish, would you give him a serpent or a stone? If he asked something like that, what would you do for him? If we do our children that way, don't you think God can hear our prayer and give good things to us? He surely can, and he will. It's a real help when we believe God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, just listen. And Jehoshaphat feared the Amorites and Moabites were coming against him. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together, dashed help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord, but notice he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. They got down to business, meant business, and I won't take time to read it now to Nehemiah, but Nehemiah chapter 1, you'll find when Nehemiah heard how bad Israel or Jerusalem was, gates were broken down, the walls broken down, temple had been destroyed, that he sat down and he wept. The Bible said he prayed and fasted. When he heard, he was concerned about it. You remember when Esther was going to go into the king and nobody was supposed to come into the king except they'd be invited? And Mordecai, who had raised her, sent word to her, that maybe she'd come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And she said, sent word back to him, said, if you pray and fast for me, me and my maids will pray and fast. I'll go into the king. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go in. She was just leaving it all in the hands of God, believing that she had a great God that could help her. She walked in after 3 days of fasting and praying, walked in, and the king held out that scepter to her, which meant it's okay, come on in. Esther, what's your request? You know why she could walk in there like that? Because she believed God. The king had men around him, and all he had to do was nod his head, and they would have taken her out and chopped her head off. But she walked in with faith, believing that God would help her. Hey, they've been praying, been fasting. They got down to business. I wonder how much down to business we are about our people that need to get saved, people that need to get help. And then in repentance in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 3, you'll find that the people of Nineveh, when they heard Jonah come in preaching after he got through the belly of the whale, after he got through down there in that college and spit him out on dry ground, he came into Nineveh preaching repentance. God going to destroy this place. You know what they did? They repented and fasted and prayed. And God had mercy. I say today, folk, God's still able. But how much are we believing him? And how much down to business are we about folk going to hell that we would pray and fast in their behalf? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let me say a word about fasting. The Pharisees and scribes, the hypocrites, they mark themselves and look like they, so everybody know what they're doing. Real fasting is nobody else knows about it. Maybe your family or something, but you just fast and pray. And take time instead of eating lunch to pray or whatever it may be, I don't know. But God spoke to my heart about this thing of believing God, trusting God. Do we really believe God? He's able. Let's stand our feet, please. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name now that you speak to every listening heart. Father, in this house, there are those that need to get saved, those that need to come and rededicate their life, those that need to come and just some problem, something on their heart. They need to just come and say, Lord, I need help, and I want to believe you. And Father, right now, they may have a bit of trouble believing, but they can come and cry, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, this man that cried that, you helped his unbelief, and his son got healed. I pray in Jesus' name now, Lord, you'd have your way. Magnify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.